This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up on what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? Well, I suspect you are. That's because you're listening to this radio show right now. And you are very suspicious people, of course, because you're Americans. So welcome aboard. Like I said, we got a lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. And in the last hour, we were playing a clip from Tucker Carlson last night, and he was talking specifically about those people that are taking a knee. Those people that are taking a knee. And, of course, I like to look at them as those they're praying for Donald Trump and Donald Trump's success and greatness for America. That's what they're doing. Anyway, we also heard from Laura Logan, and it was so good. I tell you, she is so sublime as a reporter, and what she puts out there. It's no wonder they wanted to get rid of her from CBS. Yeah, you know, CBS is totally in bed with the crazies in the Obama administration. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they don't understand that CBS is all on board for Obama. But of course, you got to have the money, right? And that's where all that stuff comes in with George Soros and the money people of the world that want to destroy the United States of America. It's not going to happen. It's absolutely not going to happen. So these forays, these things that are happening out there with the I guess you'd call them the Antifa folks. They're all running around out here in the United States. And by the way, we've got pictures, very disturbing pictures of police officers. I don't think they're the Boston police, by the way. I don't want to. Yesterday when I was telling you about this, pictures that were forthcoming, but Northeastern, I guess, University, people in Massachusetts, police officers unloading bricks and other things in the wake of where potential riots will happen. What are they doing that? Why are they putting them on street corners and making bricks accessible where there's going to be known rioting going on? Shocking. But, you know, there's all sorts of things springing up around Southern California. They're putting out bricks all over the place. They're also throwing out 2x4s. They're coming in and buying 2x4s at the local shops. And it signs on the 2x4 said, free 2x4s. Gee, with all the bricks and 2x4s, we've seen what they've done with the bricks. There was an incident in, I think it was Florida, in which a shop owner was trying to protect his property. But out comes the big, long 2x4 by the rioters from Black Lives Matter. And they start beating down the owner and his wife with a 2x4. Nice people, huh? That's what we're facing. That's what we're facing. And, of course, those that like to kneel down in a submission, they're submitting to the terrorists. Yeah, that's what that is. You know, when you see a police officer, anybody, kneel down, they're submitting. They're surrendering. It's a surrender. It's not a good tactic to quell the mob. I mean, this is some of the oldest stuff coming out from the medieval times. You know, if you can't take over, you take a knee. You give them your sword, right? Wrong. That's not what we stand for in America. That's why we're Americans. And, you know, these people that have been taking knees have not only have they humiliated themselves, but, you know, they've humiliated America as well, especially if you're somebody of authority to do that. It's not a good tactic. It's a sign of surrender. And we are surrendering to you, the mob, basically. It's been a sign of surrender for thousands of years. Apparently, we just don't get it in this. We're so modern, we're so smart, right? We're smarter than everybody else because we're modern. We're living in the modern era. I'm going to play this clip, and then the telephone number to call in is 215-867-8255. The phones will be up, but I want to get to this clip here of Tucker Carlson. I want to finish this bad boy off. I think it's a great clip. We're right in the middle of it. It's about 6 minutes left. Here we go. I think we're going to play it. Let me say, I think we're going to play it. Here we go. No, we don't go. We don't go. So now we have to redo the whole thing. So it looks like we're going to be pushed in this and back. Maybe not. We'll see. We'll see about this right now. We are gonna replay it for everybody. So Tucker makes a great point last night on his show. I was hoping he would tackle this because I've tackled it, but you know, now when you get Fox News on it, or you get Tucker Carlson and his show on it, then everybody says, wow, I can't believe that he actually said that kind of stuff. And it's, of course, yeah, talking about kneeling. It says, Tucker Carlson opened the show Wednesday night by reflecting that many American political leaders appear exhilarated by widespread violence gripping American cities and deaf to the pain it has inflicted upon civil society and individual residents and business owners. Says this is what he said in the article. It says, For many of us, this has been one of the saddest and most painful weeks in memory, the Tucker Carlson host said. Depressing doesn't even begin to describe it. We have watched as mobs and violent cretins have burned our cities, defaced our monuments, beaten old women in the streets, and shot police officers, stole everything in sight. How many innocent Americans have these people hurt? He goes on to talk about, by contrast, Carlson charged, so many of our leaders feel nothing as our nation descends into anarchy. They see the chaos instead of as an opportunity to solidify their control. That's it, to increase their market share, to win our elections. They have no interest in talking about the details about what is actually happening out there. You've noticed that, you know, by the way? So we're going to play... pick up basically where we left off with Tucker last night, so you get that whole gist. Here we go.
We had a black man in the office, bro. They were still killing us, bro.
Stop killing us!
Stop killing us. It's chilling. And if you believe it and you're a decent person, you will be moved by it because it's awful. No American should ever be mistreated by those in authority, much less killed. The abuse of power is always and everywhere a sin, and it's increasingly common here. We should always work to end it. In this case, the death of a man at the hands of police in Minneapolis turned out to be a metaphor for abuse of power. That death has led to demands that we fire the nearly 700,000 police officers who work in the United States and that we free the 1.5 million criminals who are now behind bars. In America, Joe Biden told us recently, quote, just the color of your skin puts your life at risk. Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey strongly agreed with that. Quote, we have so many people in our country, Booker said yesterday, African-American men, mostly unarmed, being murdered by police officers and no way of holding them accountable. So many people murdered by police officers, unarmed, says Cory Booker. You're hearing a lot of people in authority tell you that every day, every hour. One group of pro athletes just announced that, quote, it seems like every week a new tragedy unfolds before our very eyes where people are being killed by police violence. Each time we tweet, we pray, we mourn, only to repeat the cycle a few days later, end quote. In the words of Ben Crump, who's the lawyer representing George Floyd's family in Minneapolis, what we are witnessing here in America is, quote, genocide. Genocide. If you believed we were seeing genocide, then you might understand the riots now in progress. There's nothing worse than genocide. But is it happening? Is any of this true? We should find out. Facts matter. What exactly are the numbers? We found the numbers, and we're going to go through them with you in some detail tonight because it's worth it. Since 2015, the Washington Post has maintained a comprehensive database of fatal police shootings in this country. Last year, the Post logged a total of 1,004 killings. Of the 802 shootings in which the race of the police officer and the suspect was noted, 371 of those killed were white, 236 were black. The vast majority of those killed were not, in fact, unarmed. The vast majority were armed, and African-American suspects were significantly more likely to have a deadly weapon than white suspects. Yet more white suspects were killed. Overall, there were a total of precisely 10 cases in the United States last year, according to the Washington Post, in which unarmed African-Americans were fatally shot by the police. There were 9 men and 1 woman. Now, as we said, a lot is at stake. The country is at stake. So we want to take the time now to go through these case by case into the specifics.
Okay, before we get into the case by case, I just want to reiterate to you that what Tucker is talking about here, and that is the notion that these numbers, like Cory Booker and all these other race baiters out there, race haters, all these people have been talking about, are basically untrue. Not even basically untrue. They've been bald-faced lying about this for years. You know, you got to go back to Trayvon Martin. A lot of people don't do this, but they remember right after Zimmerman was acquitted, they tried to pull the stunt by having a nationwide race riot. You might not remember this, but they tried to pull that off, but they lacked some fundamentals, and the fundamentals of the American people weren't believing them. They didn't think there were race problems as they were being dictated back then with Trayvon Martin. They didn't believe that Trayvon Martin was an innocent little child, you know, with his iced tea and Skittles. People who are in the drug thing know exactly what that thing was about. He went down to 7-Eleven to buy iced tea and Skittles. Well, what was he going to do? He had an edge on from his marijuana addiction. So he had to go in and take some codeine, you know, to go to sleep with. Take the edge off. Skittling is very well known. It's called Skittling, by the way. Very well known in the drug culture. And people were played like fools, thinking it was a race riot. It's a potential for a race riot. But the American people go, you know, if you know about Skittling, and people got the word around about Skittling, said, we're going to go out and race riot for Skittlings. And, of course, what happened, you brought out all these stars. And remember, Sharpton spoke up and said, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And, of course, it did not happen. They said in 100 cities, we're going to riot. We have to protest. We have to lay down the law, they'd say. Of course, that didn't happen, did it? No. Following Tucker, we're going to be taking your calls, and that telephone number is 215-867-8255. That's 215-867-8255. But here we go back to Tucker.
It was a man called Chinara Feep. He was killed by a Knoxville police officer called Dylan Williams. According to Williams, Feep attacked him, choked him, and then used a taser on him, the suspect on the police officer, before the officer shot him. Five eyewitnesses corroborated the officer's claim, and the officer was not charged. The second case concerns a man called Marcus McVeigh. He was, by any description, a career criminal from San Angelo, Texas. He'd been convicted of aggravated assault, assault on a public servant, and organized criminal activity. At the time he was killed, he was wanted on drug dealing charges. A Texas state trooper pulled him over. McVeigh fled in his car, then he fled on foot into the woods. There he fought with a trooper and was shot and killed. The officer was not charged in that case. Marzuah Scott assaulted a shop employee. When a female police officer arrived and ordered the suspect toward her car, he instead charged her and knocked her to the ground. At that point, she shot and killed him. The entire incident was caught on body camera. The officer was not charged. Ryan Twyman was being approached by two L.A. County deputies when he backed into one of them with his vehicle. The deputy was caught in the car door. He and his partner opened fire. The deputies were not charged in that case. Melvin Watkins of East Baton Rouge, Louisiana, was shot by a deputy after he allegedly drove his car toward the deputy at high speed. The deputy was not charged. Isaiah Lewis, meanwhile, wasn't just unarmed. He was completely naked. Williams broke into a house and then attacked a police officer. The police tased Williams, but he kept coming at them and attacking. The officer shot him. They were not charged. Atiana Johnson Jefferson was shot by a Fort Worth deputy called Aaron Dean. A neighbor had called a non-emergency number after seeing Johnson's door open, thinking something might be wrong. Police arrived. Johnson saw them approach from a window and was holding a gun at the time. According to body camera footage, the officer shot Johnson within seconds. Jefferson, that officer has been charged with homicide. Christopher Whitfield was shot and killed in a place called Ethel, Louisiana. He had robbed a gas station. Deputy Glenn Sims said his gun discharged accidentally while grappling with Whitfield's. Sims, who is black himself, was not charged in that killing. Kevin Mason was shot by police during a multi-hour standoff. While Mason turned out not to have a gun, Mason claimed to have a gun, claimed to be armed, and vowed to kill police with it. They believed him. Mason had been in a shootout with police years before. And finally, the 10th case concerns Gregory Griffin. He was shot during a car chase. An officer called Giovanni Crespo claimed he saw someone pointing a gun at him. Later, a gun was in fact found inside the vehicle, and yet Officer Crespo was charged anyway with aggravated manslaughter. Those are the facts. That is the entire list from 2019, last year. 10 deaths. In 5 deaths, an officer was attacked just before the shooting occurred. That is not disputed. One allegedly was an accident. That leaves a total of 4 deaths during a pursuit or in a standoff. So out of 4, in 2 of those cases, in fully half, the officer was criminally charged. Is it possible that more of these officers should have been charged? Of course it's possible. Justice is not always served, that's for sure. But either way, this is a very small number in a country of 325 million people. This is not genocide. It's not even close to genocide. It is laughable to suggest it is. In fact, the number of police killings is dropping. In 2015, during Barack Obama's presidency, 38 unarmed black Americans and 32 whites were slain by police. Overall totals have fallen since then, and they have fallen far more dramatically for African American men. Last year was the safest year for unarmed suspects since the Washington Post began tracking police shootings. It was the safest year for both white and black suspects. At the same time, this country remains a dangerous place for police officers. 48 of them were murdered in 2019, according to FBI data. That's more than the number of unarmed suspects killed of all races. One final number for you, because it matters. In 2018, 7,407 African Americans were murdered in the United States. If 2019 continues on a similar trajectory, and we hope it doesn't, but if it does, that would mean that for every unarmed African-American shot to death in the United States by police, more than 700 were murdered by someone else, usually by someone they know. Again, those are the facts. They are not in dispute. Are African-Americans being hunted, as Joy Reid recklessly claimed on MSNBC recently?
Hunted.
Or is something else happening? Is our nation being ripped apart by a total and complete lie, a provable lie, a lie used by cynical media manipulators and unscrupulous politicians who understand that racial strife, race hatred, is their path to power, even if it destroys the country. You have the facts now, and you can decide what's really going on.
What's really going on? Boy, how many times do you hear that out of this mouth? What is really going on? Well, you know, it's kind of interesting the way this thing is all playing out, isn't it? If you want to comment on that, the telephone number is 215-867-8255. You can call in. We do have the phone lines wide open for your calls. And talk about some things that are kind of interesting. The key thing is, of course, how well organized is this? What are your thoughts on that? And, of course, do you think the militia is necessary in New California? I think those are some big, big deals, and you know, especially the militia. You know, to fill the gap, there is no the National Guard out here. The system has been totally compromised, and it's not working at all. They say they're taking a knee in Los Angeles, which isn't the case. We're finding out that they're crisis actors in uniforms and not National Guardsmen. And it's plainly evident by looking at the pictures, they're not National Guardsmen. They're whatever they're wearing are props. I mean, this whole thing's being orchestrated. See, Hollywood might not be saying a lot of stuff about you know, the pedophile business that they're into, but now they've sort of switched gears and they're going all in on crisis acting because it's a good, it makes a lot of money, right? And it also, you know, if you want to become a rioter, you can get rich. You know, George Soros is hiring, pays cash. Some of you guys can make $1,000 a day, rioting, destroying property, mayhem, that sort of thing. You can just see the paymaster. They're the ones that pay you. Those are the ones that pay you. Anyway, that's what's going on. We're going to be talking quite a bit about this whole militia business probably in the third hour. We got a bunch of things happening about that. And we're going to be speaking to a specialist. Looks like tomorrow. We're going to supposed to have her on today, but it looks like tomorrow. About what's going on with Donald Trump and where is he going to have his convention at? You know, what's going on with that? What is going on with that? And you know, this is developing into a very, very interesting year because you've got the election of all the different, especially out here in California, you got 53 members of the House of Representatives. The question is, will there be a fair vote? Shockingly, no. I mean, that's their answer. That's their answer. You got to remember, Gavin Newsom is now the only dictator in the nation, in the state. Did the founding fathers fear these moments? Absolutely. That's why they put in Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution. And they wanted to make it right with Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. And, of course, the federal government has an obligation. Right now it's provable, it's very, very provable, that through the legislature we have no representative government. So it's going to be kind of easy to discuss this whole thing about the Insurrection Act. And I do want to say there's a little piece here we're going to play. This is Sandra Smith talking to Guy Benson about the, and I don't like Guy Benson per se, but I'll play it anyway, just so you get the drift about what's going on with Esper and this little brouhaha that's developed about this Insurrection Act. I think I am.
Final thoughts on the current Defense Secretary Mark Esper. During this program yesterday, he stood up at the Pentagon, made clear that he did not support invoking the Insurrection Act. Now on thin ice with the White House, he went directly to the White House after making that statement at the Pentagon yesterday. Where do things stand this morning?
That's a very good question, because I think he probably gave his honest assessment yesterday about what he thinks is necessary and important at this point. And if the president has different plans, of course, the president is the commander in chief. So whether he went to the White House to explain or was summoned to the White House, that's unclear. But I think we're seeing between Mattis, Esper, some of the others, there's a sense of concern among senior, current, and former officials in the Defense Department about where this might be headed. I would just point out there's a whole brouhaha over a op-ed in the New York Times from Senator Cotton, and the New York Times reporters just freaking out that they published this op-ed about possibly sending in the military. Cotton gave examples of how this has happened in the past, what the legal justification would be, and a lot of Americans looking at their TV screens for the last 5 or 6 nights are horrified by the violence in our streets, the burning of American cities and communities, and at least one poll shows a 2-to-1 margin in favor of this idea if it becomes necessary. So I think we're again seeing a disconnect between certain elites in society and the American people more broadly. And on this one, at
least. Yep, the president's ahead. We'll go. Here you go.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
Deep in a bunker, way behind enemy lines, broadcasting the truth about what's really going on. Agenda 21 Radio.
Final thoughts on the current Defense Secretary Mark Esper. During this program yesterday, he stood up at the Pentagon, made clear that he did not support invoking the Insurrection Act. Now on thin ice with the White House, he went directly to the White House after making that statement at the Pentagon yesterday. Where do things stand this morning?
That's a very good question, because I think he probably gave his honest assessment yesterday about what he thinks is necessary and important at this point. And if the president has different plans, of course, the president is the commander in chief. So whether he went to the White House to explain or was summoned to the White House, that's unclear. But I think we're seeing between Mattis, Esper, some of the others, there's a sense of concern among senior, current, and former officials in the Defense Department about where this might be headed. I would just point out there's a whole brouhaha over a op-ed in the New York Times from Senator Cotton, and the New York Times reporters just freaking out that they published this op-ed about possibly sending in the military. Cotton gave examples of how this has happened in the past, what the legal justification would be, and a lot of Americans looking at their TV screens for the last 5 or 6 nights are horrified by the violence in our streets, the burning of American cities and communities, and at least one poll shows a 2-to-1 margin in favor of this idea if it becomes necessary. So I think we're again seeing a disconnect between certain elites in society and the American people more broadly. And on this one, at least, it seems like the president's on the side of the majority.
Yikes. I got to tell you, for Guy Benson, I played that again because, I mean, I watched Guy Benson excoriate Donald Trump, belittle Donald Trump, at CPAC in 2016. And Chris Street and I were sitting there together. We look at each other like, what the hell is this all about? Anyway, so the bottom line is, wow, all I can say for Guy Benson. I mean, listen, I'm going to play it again. I was in disbelief. We had a little silence thing going on here. I'm sorry about that. Because I'm trying to cue this up, and I'm saying, what is he really saying that? Because I heard it last night, and I'm going, that's why I put it on here. And I said, this is Guy Benson? I'm going to play the last few seconds of this so we get what he said. So just hang with me now.
Final thoughts on the current Defense Secretary Mark Esper during this program.
Sending in the military. Cotton gave examples of how this has happened in the past, what the legal justification would be, and a lot of Americans looking at their TV screens for the last 5 or 6 nights are horrified by the violence in our streets, the burning of American cities and communities, and at least one poll shows a 2-to-1 margin in favor of this idea if it becomes necessary. So I think we're again seeing a disconnect between certain elites in society and the American people more broadly. And on this one, at least, it seems like the president's on the side of the majority.
Wow. I mean, listen, apparently, I don't know what's... He's always been a Debbie Downer on all this stuff for the president. So now, you know, you've got this whole thing that's brewing about Esper. I have my thoughts on this. I'm gonna tell you about that. I think we're going to get the Cotton article up. I had it up earlier yesterday. Didn't get a chance to read it to everybody, but Cotton's a, you know, he's a hawk, right? A hawk. And, you know, the thing is that this whole thing with Esper sticking his neck out yesterday, it's kind of interesting. When Esper made the comments, and I'll get the comments for you here in a second. When he made the comments, about an hour later, he goes, I guess he went to the president, and about an hour later, you know, he had told the 82nd Airborne to stand down. They were going to come into Washington, help quell the problem. And I guess they stopped that. And then he goes into the president and talks to him. And about an hour later, they started back up. They said, oh, we're bringing in the 82nd Airport. We're not going to, you know, it's out of control in the streets of Washington. They're trying to burn down the White House, right? Well, these are all acts of war, guys. I don't know how much more clear it can be. And the president's got clear support from the American people. It's just a highway, you know. It's just a highway to the Insurrection Act. It's a wide open highway. You know, so that's where this is all going right now. That's exactly where all this is going. Insurrection Act is here anyway. They can do whatever they need to do. Now, my thinking on this, you know, is a little bit more strategic. I think that they called this out to, maybe it's a feint. Maybe. Well, and the tell for me, and I'm not going to reveal my real thoughts on some of this. I think it's a little bit of a security issue, actually. The tell will be is if Esper is fired or he resigns here shortly. If he resigns here shortly, then it's obviously he's a Mattis playboy, right? He's in the Mattis camp. And Mattis is clearly, you know, when Mattis was, you know, with the president, it was very, very clear. There was no jive going on there. And I think Donald Trump even twittered about that, put out a tweet about Mad Dog Mattis, remember? Mad Dog Mattis, and he was playing him up. Well, you know, we were saying at the time that maybe Mad Dog's being set up by the president. You know, this is when we first started to learn about Donald Trump's rope tricks. Right. We called it Trump rope. We call it Trump rope now. There's no jump rope. It's called Trump roping. It was Mattis a victim of Trump roping, and I believe he was. Absolutely. And, you know, the thing was, he was clearly an enemy of the president. He didn't like the president much. And it was a very, very big tell, obviously. So when you take a look at these kind of things, you kind of understand, wait a minute, is the president just playing him along? And I think he did. And then finally they get him out. Whoop, you're gone. Which is, Mattis was gone for a number of different reasons. But you could see why Mattis was gone. Because he had disloyalty to the president from the get-go. In short, he was a traitor to the president. And his job as a military person is to the Constitution of the United States. I mean that. Yet he would turn around and he's treasonous. He was a traitor to the president at the time, and he was acting that way. We're all suspicious of it. So he wasn't supportive of the president. He wasn't supportive of the Constitution. When he was there, he was undermining. And everybody knows that. Everybody knew it then. And now he comes out and does more undermining. You got to remember, who did he play with? Who was he really playing with? Well, there was Clapper. There was Brennan. There was Comey. Hello, and they were part of the coup d'etat. And so was Mad Dog Mattis. Get it? He's a traitor. And time will tell with Mad Dog what other investigations reveal about who he was contacting and talking with. You know, there is two sides to this coin. We'll be back. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. And of course, New California will be forming its militia. More about that later. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715. Promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops
pops on. If it, your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's a Romp Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, a Romp Solar.
We're also a nation of laws. That's part of our tradition.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Kind of interesting, we got this thing going on. Mad Dog Mattis. Everybody's saying, are you calling him names? No, I'm just saying he's a mad dog. Why would I think that Mad Dog Mattis is a mad dog? Huh? Well, I mean, why would you even think that? But he is. He's Mad Dog Mattis. So, troops must restore order. That's what he says. This is the editorial by Tom Cotton. It's from the New York Times. And I think it's pretty interesting that it's Mr. Cotton is a great senator, by the way. We all have a lot of respect for him and what the things he does and how he does them and all that good stuff. So, he's our man. Tom, he's our man. Let's give him a great big hand. Remember those cheers? Anyway, so this is what he writes in the New York Times. I can get that back again. Where did it go? No, wrong. No, God, I'm sorry. Just bear with me here. Here we go. It says, this week, rioters have plunged American cities into anarchy, recalling the widespread violence of the 60s. New York City suffered the worst of the riots Monday night as Mayor Bill de Blasio stood by Midtown Manhattan descended into lawlessness. Bands of looters roved the streets, smashing and emptying hundreds of businesses. Some even drove exotic cars. The riots were carnivals for the thrill-seeking rich, as well as other criminal elements. Yeah, that's what they're doing. Outnumbered police, there's the operative word, militia, folks. Outnumbered police officers encumbered by feckless politicians bore the brunt of the violence. In New York State, rioters ran over officers with cars on at least three occasions. In Las Vegas, an officer is in grave condition after being shot in the head by a rioter. In St. Louis, four police officers were shot as they attempted to disperse a mob throwing bricks that are being set up sometimes by the police themselves in these places. That's me now. That's me. And dumping gasoline. In a separate incident, a 77-year-old retired police captain was shot to death as he tried to stop looters from ransacking pawn shop. This is somebody's granddaddy, a bystander screamed at the scene. Isn't that interesting, huh? Don't you hate it when these little realities start to settle in, as Mr. Cotton is demonstrating to everybody here? Says, some elites have excused this orgy of violence in the spirit of radical chic, calling it an understandable response to the wrongful death of George Floyd. Really, those excuses are built on a revolting moral equivalence of rioters and looters to peaceful, law-abiding protesters, and a majority who seek to protest peacefully shouldn't be confused with bands of miscreants. There you go. Bands of miscreants. There's nothing like a band of miscreants now, is there? Nothing like a band of miscreants. Don't you love it when these things happen? But the rioting has nothing to do with George Floyd, whose bereaved relatives have condemned violence. On the contrary, nihilist criminals are simply out for loot and the thrill of destruction, with cadres of left-wing radicals like Antifa infiltrating protest marches to exploit Floyd's death for their own anarchic purposes. The rioters, if not subdued, not only will destroy the livelihoods of law-abiding citizens, but will also take more innocent lives. Many more communities that still bear scars from past upheavals will be back still further. It says, one thing about all else will restore order to our streets. Listen to this. An overwhelming show of force to disperse, detain, and ultimately deter lawbreakers. But local law enforcement in some cities desperately needs backup, while delusional politicians in other cities refuse to do what's necessary to uphold the rule of law. The pace of looting and disorder may fluctuate from night to night, but it's past time to support local law enforcement with federal authority. Some governors have mobilized the National Guard, yet others refuse, and in some cases the rioters still outnumber the police and guard combined. In these circumstances, the Insurrection Act authorizes the president to employ the military or any other means necessary in cases of insurrection, obstruction, or obstruction to the laws. Called rebellion, by the way. Oh, doesn't it sound like maybe he was reading the grievances of the new Californians for the past, you know, 101 weeks? These venerable laws, nearly as old as our republic itself, doesn't amount to martial law or the end of democracy, or some as some excitable critics ignorant of both the law and her history have comically suggested. This is good stuff. In fact, the federal government has a constitutional duty to the states to protect each of them from domestic violence. He's citing Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. He must be reading, I'm telling you, he is reading from the new California state grievances. Don't you just love that? Yep. It says, throughout our history, presidents have exercised this authority on dozens of occasions to protect law-abiding citizens from disorder. Nor does it violate the Posse Comitatus Act, which constrains the military role in law enforcement, but expressly excerpts statutes such as the Insurrection Act. Don't you hate it when this happened? For instance, during the 1950s and 60s, the presidents Dwight D. Eisenhower, John Kennedy, and Lyndon Johnson called out the military to disperse mobs that prevented school desegregation or threatened innocent lives and property. This happened in my own state when Governor Orville Faubus, a racist Democrat, mobilized our National Guard in 1957 to obstruct, listen to this, to obstruct desegregation at Little Rock Central High School. President Eisenhower federalized the Guard and called in the 101st Airborne in response. The failure to do so would be tantamount to acquiescence in anarchy. Most recently, President George H.W. Bush ordered the Army's 7th Infantry and 1,500 Marines to protect Los Angeles during the race riots of 1992. He acknowledged his disgust at Rodney King's treatment. What I saw made me sick, but he knew deadly rioting would only multiply the victims of all races from all walks of life. Even GW got that one. Not surprisingly, public opinion is on the side of law enforcement and law and order, not insurrectionist. According to a recent poll, 58% of registered voters, including nearly half of Democrats and 37% of African Americans, would support cities calling them in the military to address protests and demonstrations that are in response to the death of George Floyd. That opinion may not appear often in chic salons, but widespread support for it is, in fact, nonetheless there. The American people aren't blind to injustices in our society, but they know that the most basic responsibility of government is to maintain public order and safety. In normal times, local law enforcement can uphold public order, but in rare moments, like ours today, more is needed, even if many politicians prefer to wring their hands while the country burns. We're not letting that happen in New California. That's why we're creating a militia. If you're interested in joining the militia, go to the New California State website and click on sign up and state that you want to become a militia member. We're going to be fixing that up so that you can go to a button directly if you're interested in becoming a part of the New California State Militia. But you've got to do it. We got to do it. I'm telling you, I'm getting too many calls. We had a public phone call last night. 220 people on the call. And the cries for help were evident. Those of you that were on the call, you heard them. And then later on after the call, I was getting more. But this isn't something new. We've been getting these calls to do something as New California because the state of California refuses to do anything. The state of California refuses to do anything to help its communities. They're just standing down. And then you have complicit police with it. Usually it's the police. You're not seeing too much of the sheriffs. It's the police. They are the most vulnerable. But it's happening. It's absolutely happening. And, you know, that's why I say we've got to put a stop to this. And we can, and we will, and we're going to. That's pretty obvious. But the militia is forming in New California. New California militia. Has kind of a ring to it, doesn't it? It has kind of a ring. I know they probably don't like me saying these things, but you know what? It's time to say it. It's time to get it out there. So we're going to fix up the website, and you can start putting your names out there if you want. If you're interested, you want more information about it, we're going to be getting that out to everybody. It's now on, and we are going to definitely make it go a little bit faster for obvious reasons, because people need to know that there's something out there for them. There really is. There needs to know there is something out there to protect them, and right now, they don't have that. You know, when you call your sheriff's department and your sheriff's department says to you, no, I don't think we can help you today, then we can protect you. You know what? You know you got a problem. You know you got a problem. And, of course, that is the scenario that many of our people that have called down to the police, their local police department in many communities in New California said, well, you know, what we're going to do is protect the police department. That's going to come first, and then, you know, if we have time, we'll get out to you. But in the meantime, you're on your own in your own communities. That's what they're telling them. They're not going to protect them anymore. That's really what's going on. That's what's going on. And a lot of people might not understand that. Well, the police, if you call the police, they always respond, right? Because they do. But what happens when they're being stressed in other areas and they can't? Well, where's your gun? Where's your Second Amendment, right? Where's people to protect you? That's why you have a militia, especially if you have a situation where there's a real insurrection that's going on in government. Look at this position. You've got a dictatorship in the state of California. It's a dictatorship. Wake up, America. Don't you think we need help out here? And it's true. We've already been contacted from other states and so on. Do you need help? And we're saying, yes, we do. We need to protect people. Because we know what these clowns are going to do. We know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to be rounding up the usual suspects and killing people. That is a fact. That's what they always do. That's where this is going. I mean, there's history. We understand. If you're not looking at your history and understand what did Santa Ana say, then you're bound to repeat it. Shocking. Shocking, right? You're bound to repeat it. And clearly that could be the case here. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. We're going to clean it up here a little bit. We got the music coming up in the background. Want to thank all of you for listening. And the call-in number, you can call in the next hour, is 215-867-8255. I'm sorry we got some calls there and we're going off on things. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit a21r.com and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. And hit that button and sign up if you're interested in becoming part of the militia or being involved in, or you need help. Stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.